Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay everyone according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let everyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let us offer a word of prayer. Gracious God, as we reflect now on your abundant grace through your word and scripture, may the words of my mouth and the reflections of all of us here be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Story of the three trees that we'll hear shortly reminded me that one of my most precious possessions is a little candlestick that my husband made for me out of the walnut wood from my grandmother Beulah's kitchen table. My father ate, I don't know how many bowls of Wheaties on that very table as he was growing up in the small town of Mattoon, Illinois. And then when years later, when my sister and I went out to Mattoon to visit my grandmother, we sat at that same table and ate our bowls of Wheaties. And then after my grandmother passed away and I was entering divinity school, I inherited that table and took it with me, and it stayed with me, and I ate breakfast there every day in seminary. That was in Nashville. Then I moved to Charlottesville, where I served my first church, and the table came with me to Charlottesville, more breakfasts and even dinners there. Got married, and the table moved across town with me into my first house with my then new husband. And then it moved all the way down here to Chapel Hill, so that table has been around. My children ate many breakfasts and even dinners on it as well, but the past few years it got a little wobbly. Couldn't quite hold its weight anymore and didn't serve its intended purpose. And so we struggled with what to do with it because we certainly couldn't give it away. It wouldn't be really useful to anybody else, but we didn't want to throw away such a precious family item. So Steve, my husband, looked at it and studied it, and he's a woodworker, and he dreamed up a new use for it, and he took one of the legs of the table and crafted a candlestick for me. And crafted other things for my family members and my father and sister so that we have put this table into new uses. You'll see how that lines up with the story of the three trees in just a few minutes. If the tree that made my candlestick that I treasure so much could talk, though, I wonder what it would say. I wonder. If the trees that made these pews and that communion table and this pulpit and that organ and piano could speak, what would they tell us about the hopes and the longings and the sorrows and the joys that they've witnessed and absorbed over the years? It'd be fascinating to hear their story from their perspective. Well, and what about the various trees in our own scriptural witness? From the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Eden, to the tree of life that we just remembered, the tree of David. What would those trees tell us? You know, we don't often consider our own personal stories, let alone our story of faith, from this non-human perspective, do we? But this morning, the children will invite us to do just that, to listen to the story of the three trees that play such crucial roles in the birth, in the ministry, the death, and resurrection of Jesus. And hearing the gospel according to trees promises to deepen our understanding and really prompt us to think in new ways, about the vital relationship that creation holds in God's unfolding story, the vital role that creation plays in that story of salvation. You know, it turns out, as the musical will tell us, and also as some scientists have told us lately, that trees actually have quite a lot to tell us. We would do well to listen. Some of you may have heard of this German forester who's very famous these days. His name is Peter Wohlleben. He wrote a book that's become a fast-selling bestseller in Germany. You never would have imagined that a book with this title would be that, but the book is called The Hidden Life of Trees: What They Feel, How They Communicate, Discoveries from a Secret World. This author, Peter Wohlleben, is like a rock star in Germany. So many people have read this book, they invite him on their talk shows, and he's just all over the place. And you know, you have to wonder, what is that? Why is this book all of a sudden so popular? It's soon going to be translated into 19 languages, so we'll get to read it in English in the fall, and it'll appear here. But it seems that Germans, like many of us, just have this deep longing to reconnect with creation, to get away from our computer screens and all our electronic systems and into the systems of the earth, that God has created, and just learn something new outside about nature's fascinating and mysterious systems. So the hidden life of trees has opened the door to that kind of renewal. Trees is fascinating. Trees, says the author, are social beings. They communicate. They talk to one another. And what they say is that they don't like to be separated too much from one another. They don't grow very well when there's too much space between them. Isn't that something? They talk to each other. They work together. If two towering beech trees, for instance, are growing next to each other, side by side, their thickest branches stretch away from each other so that they don't block one another's light. So they let the light in. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Right? Well, trees offer us that example that we'll hear about in our musical story today, that beautiful, beautiful example of letting in the light. Just as Christ invites us to let the light into our own lives, to live together as one, and trusting that as we shape our lives closer to Christ's life, just as these trees do? Well, remember that we have come into the world to do this, to go easy, like the trees, and to be filled with light and to shine. May it be so. Amen.